We're doing the Avat Chesed. We're up to the footnote. We're on page Reish Chafav in the standard editions, Reish Tzadi Tet in the Zeligman edition. And the Chafetz Chaim had been discussing the three components one should ensure are in one's day on a steady basis. He had discussed learning Torah, doing tshuva, and pursuit of mitzvos and good deeds, doing acts of kindness. Now, the Chafetz Chaim adds in a footnote. He says, "As va'agav avecha pasuk tu lechora mukshe meod." In passing, I want to explain the verse I quoted, that the Torah says, ensure you have a life with a woman that you love. And our sages say, the woman that you love is talking about learning Torah that you enjoy. So he said, that's a pasuk I want to explain, because at first glance, that pasuk is hard to understand. The verse seems to reiterate the same idea twice. He begins by saying, ensure you spend life with the woman you love, kol yemei chayei hevlecha, throughout the days that you'll spend on earth. V'hakach chozer v'omer od v'omer. Then the pasuk reiterates and says, kol yemei hevlecha, throughout your life. Didn't you just say that? V'gam u'beshinui, and it's also different, because the first time it says, kol yemei chayei hevlecha. The first time it says, throughout the time you're living here. Shevazech yiser tevat chayei. So why did he change it? Aval ha'inyan hu, you want to understand it, he says, it's understood, al pi ma shamru b'yoma. Based on what our sages taught us in Tractate Yoma. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught the following Tanaic quote. Ani ve'ashir ve'rasha ba'u ledin. Three people, this isn't a joke, three people walk into court. La'ani umrim lo, the poor person, they ask him, ipnei ma lo asakta ba'torah? Why didn't you learn Torah? Im amar ani haya ve'torud bimzonotav haya, if he says, I was impoverished, I had to work so hard for food, umrim lo, so then in court, in the heavens, they'll tell him, klum ata ani yoter mi'ilel, were you more impoverished than Hillel? Amru alav al Hillel hazaken, they said about Hillel the elder, back when he was in Babylon. Shebechol yom ve'yom yaoseh mistaker bitrapaik. He'd work. He'd cut trees. He was a logger. He would fell trees. And he'd make a coin. That was his living. When he made that coin, when he made that much money, chetzion natan l'shomer bet hamidrash, half of his earnings would go to pay for admissions to the Beis Medrash. That was his tuition. And the other half of his earnings were spent feeding his family and himself. No, later on he became wealthy when he became the Nasi. That's why I said when he was in Babylon.
He ended up in Israel, correct?
Right. There was a day he couldn't find any buyers for his logs. So the guard says, you know the Chinese saying, no tiki, no washi. You can't. Okay, you come to.
Because you aren't Chinese.
Tells me, you know, you can't pay. You're not coming in to learn Torah. Okay, he's got nothing to pay. It's interesting. He lived hand to mouth. So he went to the roof. I figured I can't go into the academy to learn. I'll go listen to the learning through the skylight. He wants to learn from the top sages of Israel, Shmaya and Avtalion. He wants to hear their teachings. It was a Friday afternoon. And it was the middle of the winter. So everyone's cozy inside the Beis Medrash learning. Notice how on Friday he was also learning Torah. Yeah. Maybe he'll say gudrogalach, okay? The Talmud says it started snowing and he was engrossed in his learning and he froze over there. Friday night, his wife had to make Kiddush alone. Hillel doesn't come home. Where is Hillel? No one knows. Comes the morning, they would start learning at the crack of dawn. So it's early in the morning, and They're coming to learn, and there's no light in the academy. Now they look up to the skylight, and they see over the skylight the shape of a human. They figured they'd see snow. No, there's a human form there. They climb up, and on Shabbos they take off all the snow, and they find Hillel, who was covered with 6 feet of snow. And they took him down. They put him next to the fire. And then they said, for a pious man like this, we're happy we desecrated Shabbos in his honor. So that's the story there. You see, he was so poor, he didn't have what to pay to enter the Beis Medrash. So that wasn't an excuse in his mind not to learn Torah. Every day he'd say, I made enough to live off of today, the rest I'm going to learn. So if a person says, I didn't have enough money, if he says, I was so poor, they ask him, wait a second, were you more poor than Hillel? Look at him, he became the greatest Talmud Chacham in Am Yisrael, even though he had no money. So that doesn't seem to be such a good excuse. Yes?
That was the Daf Yomi for the first Beis
Nosso. Ah, right. Yeah, you're fair. Okay, if a person comes to heavenly court and he's wealthy, they ask him, hey, why didn't you learn a lot of Torah? He says, you know what? I had a lot of work to do. I had to run my corporations and take care that the tenants were paying rent and make sure my stocks weren't going who knows where. It's a lot of work. They tell him, were you more wealthy than Rabbi Eliezer ben Charsom? That when he inherited his father, he had 1,000 cities in his possession on the dry land. And he had 1,000 ships out at sea doing commerce. So he had managers for all these businesses. And every day, he would pack his little bag and he traveled from city to city with a bag, a stick and a bag, you know, like Tom Sawyer, yeah. He'd walk with his little lunch bag from city to city to swallow up as much Torah he could from every academy that existed. One time, he walked into a city and it was one of the cities he owned. And his servants said, hey buddy, welcome to town. Today is tax day. Everyone has to stop what they're doing and help fortify the walls, dig and make sure we have enough wells. Now, they wanted him to work. And he said to them, let me go learn Torah. And they said, we swear by Rabbi Eliezer ben Charsom that we're not letting you go. So he looks at them and he knows they're swearing by his life. He's their big boss, but they have no idea. He didn't say a word. He went to start working. Then he said, hey buddies, what if I could pay you enough that you could hire other people and then you'll get the job done? So they said, fine, if we could hire paid labor, fine. So he took out his wallet, he paid his way out and went to continue learning Torah. So you see, he had all this wealth and he ensured to have managers, but his own servants didn't know who he was. He'd always go away. You know, Chafetz Chaim was writing this work. He would also go away. He knew that when he was in town, they would come and tell him, we need you up for this, that, and the other thing. And people would ask him questions nonstop. He would spend about a half a year at a time away from home learning Torah because he couldn't learn at home. People would just keep coming to him. You know, even the New York Times wrote about him. So back to our story. So if a person... Yeah?
Person, even the guy, I think, at the time.
Where did he live?
Look it up online. You'll see. I'll print it up, Izachim. Remind me. In the city of Radin. You could look it up. If you remind me, I'll.
He died
in
the 20s, right?
Uh-huh. 33? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Nimtza lefize, so what the Talmud's teaching us is, techulan mechuyavin lilmod. Everyone has to learn Torah. Ben ani, ben ashir. Doesn't matter if you're poor or wealthy. And that's what's ruled in the Shulchan Aruch and the Codex. Dechol ish Yisrael chayav b'talmud Torah. Everyone has to learn Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, doesn't matter if you're poor or you're wealthy, if you're healthy or a person suffering, whether he's young or old. I'll tell you a phenomenal thing. I was once visiting, I don't know if I'm allowed to say who. I don't know. So we'll leave him nameless. Someone in this community, someone you guys have bumped into around here. We were both at a Shalom Zachar. It was a Friday night. And someone raised the question, and this rabbi who lives in this neighborhood, this rabbi gave an answer. He quoted a Shem Mishmuel. Shem Mishmuel is from Sochachov. He quoted a Hasidish explanation that answers the question. And I heard him chuckling to his brother who sat next to him. He's also a rabbi here in the neighborhood. And he said to him, you know where I learned this Shem Mishmuel? My wife was in labor. And she asks me in labor to learn with her Shem Mishmuel. So that's where I learned the Shem Mishmuel. Now, Shem Mishmuel's Hasidish work on the holidays and on the Parsha, so it blew me away. This lady is suffering through labor, and she tells her husband, "This is the time I want to learn Hasidut. This is."
You can make that suggestion.
I never made that suggestion to my wife.
Why make it more beautiful for her? You know?
But that's what the Shulchan Aruch over there says. You know, if I wouldn't have heard the story from him, like, you know, if a wife asks for it, what are you going to say? No. And the Shulchan Aruch over there concludes, it doesn't matter if you're young or very old. At every age, we have a mitzvah to learn Torah. Afilu aniyam chazar al haptachim. The Shulchan Aruch says, even if it's someone who's a beggar, who's collecting handouts, he has to ensure he has time by day and time by night that he learns Torah, as the verse says in the book of Joshua, "Vagita bo yomam v'layla." A person's thought and speech should be about Torah day and night. Okay, so we're in the middle. This was all introductory to understand that verse. Why does the verse say throughout your life and throughout the time that you're living, throughout the days, throughout the time that you're living? So, we have one more paragraph. Should we finish the thought? Yeah. Guys, you with me? Okay, Vita B'Yoma. Later on, in Tractate Yoma, the Talmud says about the verse, Ki orech yamim ushnot chayim v'shalom yosif ulach. It says, the verse says, Torah will add longevity to your days, to your years. It will add days and years of life and peace. So the Talmud asks, what does it mean it'll add years of life? Is there such a thing as adding years that are not of life? What does that mean it will add years of life and peace? Yes, we're talking about the years man lives. Shemitapchim lo mera'a letova. That in one's lifetime, things change. A person will sometimes spend much of his life being poor and suddenly find himself wealthy. And then you'll ask him and he'll tell you, I feel like I came to life. So the Talmud's telling us something very scary. The Talmud's saying that living a life of suffering is not necessarily called chayim. It's not necessarily called life. Okay, now we can understand the pasuk. So now we can understand the verse. The mitchila kamar, initially King Solomon said, spend life with a woman you love. Kol yemei hevlecha. We said that's talking about the Torah. Throughout one's days he should learn Torah. So a person might say if he is poor, yamim shenim tkorer al aretz milvad shu hevelem yamim ba'al mablo chayim. Someone who's poor might say, hey, my life ain't so worth living. Life is so tough. If that's why the pasuk reiterates and says, "Kol yemei chayev lecha," throughout the life you live here, to instruct that even if someone's living on earth and he's poor, he also has to learn. umsayem apasuk al ze ki uchelkecha b'chayim. That's why the pasuk ends and says, that's your portion in life. The poor person might say, but wait a second, if my life is not necessarily called living, and the other guy who's better off is, that's why Shlomo HaMelech comes back and says, no, this is your lot. It's not the way a person imagines in this world. The poor person thinks, why was I chosen for this? And he thinks, I got a bad lot and he got a good lot. So Shlomo Melch reminds him, this is a passing train here. We know that the Talmud tells us quite a few people had those moments where they passed from this world and then they came back. And when they came back, they reported that what they saw was the world was upside down. The people who are poor and looked down upon are suddenly valued up in heaven. And the people who are looked up to and not by their own merits, but simply because of different power or wealth that they have, are suddenly not valued in the world above. So Shlomo HaMelech goes back and tells the poor person, you got to learn Torah because this is your portion in life. This is really your portion in life. Sometimes a person doesn't feel like he's living up life if he's living it in poverty. But Shlomo says that's not true. V'ani uval yisurin yodeh be'atzmo levasof la'kadosh baruch hu al yisurin she'ya lo ba'olam hazeh. And the Chafetz Chaim comes back to a point that he says in many of his works. He says, when a person lives a life that he had to suffer, at the end of his life, he will give thanks to God for what he went through in this world. He says, the fact that we find hardships and pain difficult is because of our short-term perspective down below. He says, when a person has a broader perspective, after he passes, he's actually thankful for what he endured. This is a recurring theme in the Chafetz Chaim. And he quotes from the Medrash Tehillim on the Pasuk, Saviv Yereshaim Yitalachun. The Medrash over there says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that the wicked go around the righteous. When they come out of the Garden of Eden, so the righteous see the wicked in perdition, and then they're happy with their lot. And that's the verse in Isaiah. The end of Isaiah describes how people walk out and see those that were rebellious. And the Medrash says that's talking about that time where the tzaddikim will have an opportunity to see what lot befell others. So they'll be able to look up and say, God, thank you for bringing me here. This is a recurring theme in the Chafetz Chaim. In summation, the Chafetz Chaim said, when the verse speaks about see life with a woman you loved throughout your life or throughout your days, it's telling you two ideas. We know that sometimes a person's days aren't called life if those days are filled with suffering. Nonetheless, Shlomo HaMelech says, throughout your days, even if you won't call it living up life, you should know that this is your portion in life. This is what you can accomplish in this world, and this is what you'll be proud of. This is what you'll look back on and say, okay, I did what was important throughout my time. It's interesting. Not long ago, I sat with a kid, a teenager, who lost his father. And he told me that ever since he sat Shiva, he can't go back to being a frivolous, youthful teenager, because suddenly he looks at life differently. He said he goes out with his friends, and they're in two different worlds. Meaning before this happened to him, so he was just like them. He was running around and he didn't have time for anything important. And now he looks at running around and he says, wait a second, but there are things that are more important to accomplish in life. So his whole perspective changed. If we would have spoken to him a while back, he thought he's finishing high school, going straight for the army. And now he says, there's no way I'm going to the army without going to yeshiva. I need to get the tools to deal with life. So he suddenly looks at life as a place that he has to accomplish. And the truth is that that's part of the perspective that a person develops as he matures. Or the Chafetz Chaim says, at the end of time, when a person comes near ending his life or after he's ended his life, he looks back and says, okay, what was worthwhile? What was valuable? But again, life has a way of getting us very excited over the here and now. We need reminders, and the Chafetz Chaim, that's why he keeps repeating this theme that you got to think about the long run. You guys know the story about the Chafetz Chaim's house?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. A guy came visiting.
It was 1933. There were a lot of Gedolim who died in that 30s.
Yeah. So there's a story where a guy visited the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim had a ranch. There are pictures of it. And when the person visited him, so he saw that inside it was pretty bare. So he said, hey, why?
Inside the farm?
Yeah, inside his house. Oh. He had like a ranch house. It wasn't this tiny house. You know, when I heard the story as a kid, so I was sure he lived in a hobble, a little thing. Then I saw a picture a few years ago. They still have his house out there. They have pictures of his house. I don't know if the house is still around, but they have pictures of the house. It wasn't a tiny house. I know there are also stories of his conversations in the attic. So they had an attic, meaning every night he would go up and daven. When he did his Tikkun Chatzos, he would pace in the attic and talk to God. He would have a conversation. His prayer involved words. You know, you'd think he was a breast lover. He would talk to God and say, you know, your children are suffering. And I know you're going to tell me they deserve it. Then he'd have this whole long conversation, but look at how much they're suffering. And I know you care more than I care. So then if it hurts me so much, it must hurt you even more. So and he'd have a whole long conversation. He'd get up at somewhere around midnight and start pacing and talking to God. That's the idea of Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos, the idea is to pray over the suffering of the Jewish people now that we're still in exile. So, at any rate, this visitor comes and sees that the house is pretty bare, and he says, oh, why don't you have any furniture? And the Chafetz Chaim says, that's a good question. Why didn't you bring any furniture? So the guy says, well, I'm visiting in town. So the Chafetz Chaim says, yeah, I'm also visiting. We're all passing through. We're all passing through. 70 years, 80 years, but we're passing through. So that's, again, the perspective that Chafetz Chaim reiterates that helps a person maintain perspective on what's important.